With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Josh Wigler here with the great Z13 themselves, Brooklyn Zed. Zed, how you doing?
One more time, Z13 is here.
One last time, Z13, as here we are with a little bit of like a... it turns out that there's a bonus podcast. Turns out that there's like a... This is sort of
like the crossover episode.
It's sort of like when Red 13, 400 years later, there's a little bit of an extra scene. Turns out that we've got like a final Final Fantasy VII podcast before we launch forward into the next phase of the Final Fantasy podcast, which we have announced. We're going to do Final Fantasy VIII, Zed.
I am going to start once I'm told I'm allowed to start.
Mm-hmm. You're allowed to start after this podcast. So what's going to happen here is we are going to do this very special bonus podcast. Then we're going to take an actual week off of the podcast, and then we will come back with the first of our Final Fantasy VIII episodes. But what we're doing here today, Zed, is like a quick little goodbye to FF7 and a quick little hello to Final Fantasy VIII. This is like sort of the handoff is what's happening here. And the quick goodbye to Final Fantasy VII, we should say that there will be no Final Fantasy VIII spoilers in this podcast, because certainly I would never spoil Zed other than to, you know, maybe set some things up. I think there may be some setup that's going to occur here in this podcast. But there are Final Fantasy VII spoilers here, so if you're just like ready to go for FF8, I'm not entirely sure how you got here.
There's a long journey you gotta take first.
It's a long journey indeed, but you made it, and we're happy about that. But yeah, there may be some FF7 spoilers in this one. Go back, listen to all the Final Fantasy VII podcasts that Zed and I have already done. But Zed, when we were saying, all right, that's it, FF7, we'll see you someday, remake, you know, we'll come back for that, you know, once, you know, maybe the new remake thing drops. Like, I think it would be fun to go through that episodically with you at some point, Zed. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, we were like pretty ready to just move straight on to Final Fantasy VIII, Gunblades a-blazing. That'll make more sense soon.
I've heard rumor of these things.
Mm-hmm. As a weapons master, I cannot wait for your takes. With your background, I'm very excited about this. But there actually, it turns out, there are some lingering Final Fantasy VII-isms to discuss.
We just can't let it go.
Can't let it go. And by we, I assume you mean yourself.
You mean me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Zed, you are an admitted overachiever.
Completionist.
Mm-hmm.
Stubborn person.
We said last week that you had not yet finished the battle against Emerald Weapon and Ruby Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
We have some updates on this boss battle bulletin. The boss battle bulletin. We have some breaking news that Brooklyn Zed, you did indeed challenge the Emerald Weapon to a battle.
So
and after, what, like 30 defeats?
Who knows? I mean, there were very many before we recorded that Okay, We're Done podcast with the lingering unfinished business. And then during your birthday D&D session earlier this week, it is Saturday, March 13th right now as we're recording this, I said, okay, I'm going to listen to Dungeons & Dragons because I wasn't playing, and I'm going to sit down and just fight Emerald Weapon until I win or the game is over.
Yeah, and just to be clear for people, wait, birthday D&D session? This is why you want to sign up for the post-show recaps. Patreon, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. We play a lot of Dungeons & Dragons and their live shows these days, and you can listen in, and it's a super amount of fun. And you can multitask. Apparently, you can listen to a live Dungeons & Dragons game while also slaying Emerald Weapon.
Yeah, so during the D&D game, I kept a running death count for anyone interested, and I died 16 times attempting to defeat Emerald
lucky
Weapon.
Lucky loss number. Yeah.
Just on Thursday night. But then last night, which was Friday, I was like, okay, I got to level a couple things up, and then I think it's going to happen. And it happened. I did it during another D&D game, actually.
So how did it go down? Walk us through it. What had you been doing either wrong or not efficiently enough that changed this time that you were able to destroy Emerald Weapon?
Well, so part of it was I had my various counter materias confused. Because in order to pair counter and mime correctly, it has to be the counter attack materia, which mimes commands rather than just a counter materia, which will strike back whenever you're hit. So I had to fix that. I leveled up my Phoenix and Final Attack materia a bit more. So what happens then is that if Cloud dies, he summons Phoenix, and Phoenix will revive Cloud and anybody else who happens to be dead at the time. So it just kind of extends the game for you, because a death doesn't mean you're automatically done. And so then once you get the mime situation correct, and if you have haste on your characters, you can kind of ignore everybody else and let... I mimed Omnislash a bunch, which is Cloud's final limit break. And so there was a fair amount of that, but then still a lot of damage happening. So you had to keep breaking the mime cycle to, like, heal people.
Breaking the mime cycle.
Mm-hmm. This is what you've done to me, Josh. This is how I talk now.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying this. I'm just taking a minute to enjoy that.
I leveled up my double cut to a 4X cut in the process also. I spent like an hour and a half back down at the Eerie Pools in the Northern Cave grinding out some of this stuff. But that really made the ultimate difference. So then you had like four times attacking when you're attacking. You got a slash all going on somebody else. And then once you start miming that Omni Slash, you just keep going for as long as you can. The disadvantage I think I was at is that you really can't use Vincent's final limit break with this strategy because it'll just like screw up your action order, basically.
So what do you do? Like, how do you...
I kept ignoring it, and Vincent's main job was casting Big Guard and Regen and like tossing Mega Elixirs to everybody. That's about all he does.
Got it. Okay. So he's the healer.
Yeah. His attacks also aren't super strong, comparatively speaking. Like, they only do a couple thousand points of damage compared to Cloud's ultimate weapon doing, you know, max 9999. So it worked out okay. But I think, you know, the strategy is like, use people who have limit breaks that are multiple attacks. And I think Sid is one of those, and Barrett is too. And that was just never going to happen. So
yeah.
But we did it.
Okay, so you did it. So you took down Emerald Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take?
It took about half an hour. In fact, I had abandoned the underwater materia because I kept dying after 10 minutes anyway. And the time limit is 20 minutes if you don't have that materia equipped. And I was like, I'm never going to get down to zero. And Emerald Weapon has an attack that it can use that does 1,111 points of damage per materia you have equipped. So you don't want to have too many, or that attack will automatically wipe out your whole party. So they were all fighting with like five or six materia apiece. And I felt like I didn't need underwater until I literally ran out of time one time. But cool. Yeah, so my final strategy took like half an hour.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's honestly pretty nuts to me. But I'm really excited about it. I've never done this before. You get the earth harp. What does the earth harp do?
So you take the earth harp back to the mourner in calm. And it's from the mourner in calm that you get the underwater materia in the first place after you go do some other thing. You have to go like morph an enemy in the like by the underwater reactor, and it turns into a thing that you give to him, and then he gives you the underwater materia. Mm-hmm. So you give him the earth harp, and he gives you a master summon, master magic, and master command materials.
Okay.
And that makes all the difference for me, at least, in fighting Ruby Weapon, which I did this morning.
So Ruby Weapon is the little red weapon that's sticking out of the sand at the Golden Saucer, mm-hmm. that if you fly into it, you suddenly get into a fight. Mm-hmm. And you had previously fought Ruby Weapon like once or twice
times,
by accident.
Yeah, once by accident. And once just to see how it would go, since I'd leveled up a lot since then. And both times went very poorly.
How did it go this morning?
This morning, the first time I went and did it, it was a success.
Okay, the first time? Yeah. First shot?
Yeah.
You one-shotted Ruby Weapon?
I mean, I did it in one attempt, yes. This morning.
What? Is single attempt?
Yeah.
Like 100 tries against Emerald Weapon, and then you roll up to Ruby
so
Weapon this
many.
Morning, and you
yeah.
go, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
You just like David versus Goliath to the Ruby Weapon?
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
So the key is you have to start with just one of your party members alive. Because as long as you have more than one party member alive, Ruby Weapon is going to use this quicksand thing that is called Whirlwind, I think. And it'll suck your party members into the sand, and then they're just gone. They're not there anymore. You can't use them. You can't get them back. And you're going to be stuck battling one-on-one, and it's impossible. But if you enter the battle with only one of your players conscious, then Ruby Weapon will stick out its little tentacles behind mm-hmm. you. And once mm-hmm. it's done that, it's not going to use the quicksand thing anymore. So then you're good to go. And the game is kind of broken to me if you've beaten Emerald Weapon already, because you just use the Master Summon. And if you already have the W summon, which you probably do from a long time ago, I do. You use the Master Summon, and you.
And what does the Master Summon do?
The Master Summon gives you access to summoning anything that you uh-huh. you don't have to equip them. You just have them all in one materia, basically.
Got it.
And with the W summon, you get to summon two in one turn. So you do Hades first, because Hades will paralyze it. Will paralyze Ruby Weapon so it can't attack. And then you do Knights of Round. And the other thing about...
Do you need me to recall the list of the Knights of the Round table again?
You wanted this to be a short podcast.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
The other thing about Master Summon is you can use it infinite times. So it's not like if it's a one-star materia, you can use it once. And if it's a two-star materia, you can use it twice. You can use it infinity times. And if you pair... If you pair Master Summon with MP Absorb, then you're basically restoring your magic every time you use it. So you don't even have to worry about that part of it. So I had Red 13 cast Hades to paralyze it, and then Knights mm-hmm. of Round to do, you know, 13 times 7,000 points of damage every time. And then had Cloud Mime and had... Vincent Mime, because he had the Master Command materia, so he had access to all the commands, including Mime. And then you just keep doing that forever. Again, it took like half an hour, but you just keep miming and summoning and miming and summoning, and you sit there, and Ruby Weapon can't do anything. It was very dumb. I could tell like 3 minutes in. I was like, oh, I'm gonna do it. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, yeah. It was just anticlimactic.
Oh, it just took so long. If I had remembered to use hero drinks first, I think that would have made the attack stronger and it would have gone
hero
a little
drinks,
faster.
Like boost your stats,
your offense stats. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at that point, I was like, we're just going to keep pressing the buttons and listening to community building as it's recording. Mm-hmm. And
unbelievable.
There we go. Right as community building finished, Ruby weapon turned transparent red and disappeared.
Oh my God. All right. And now, so you've killed Ruby weapon. Have you reaped the rewards yet?
I have not, but I'm pretty sure it's just a gold chocobo.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just a gold chocobo.
Very dumb. Really ridiculous.
Yeah, you know how you did all the chocobo hunting? All the chocobo breeding to get the Knights of the Round table?
Which is about the only way you can beat this thing. And then it's going to give you
Kill it, and then you get a gold chocobo for it.
Ridiculous.
Which, at that point, is now useless.
Yep.
So, congratulations.
I did it.
You beat Ruby Weapon for no reason.
But, as Anderson Cooper says of the mole, I have the satisfaction of a job well done.
Well, a job well done said you've, thoroughly completed Final Fantasy VII.
Well, if you hadn't said, wait, don't start Final Fantasy VIII yet, I might have done that instead.
Yeah,
But here we are.
I bet. But I had some thoughts, and this is a good segue. So goodbye, Cloud.
Goodbye,
Cloud. Goodbye, Tifa and Tifa. Goodbye, Red. Goodbye, Weapons. Goodbye, my vampire boyfriend, Vincent. Goodbye, my bar mitzvah style icon, Rufus.
And our gold chocobo, Eris.
Goodbye to the other gold chocobo that you've yet to get, but you are entitled to owning. Goodbye to all of these wonderful characters. This very formative story for me. And now, let us say hello to Final Fantasy VIII.
To whatever this is.
So, Final Fantasy VIII, Zed. This is the follow-up, if you can believe it, to Final Fantasy VII. Mm-hmm. Came next. I don't know what gave it away.
Oh, numbers were.
There are some numbers that may have indicated that this was the way in which it proceeded. Final Fantasy VII blows the doors off of the video game world and pop culture writ large in 1997. This was a game that had commercials for it. FF7 was really forefront of mind in pop culture at its time, and certainly for the nerdy types and the video gamers. It's early on in the existence of the PlayStation. This is a formative video game experience. And while Final Fantasy VII is just knocking everybody's socks off, Squaresoft, now Square Enix, then Square, were developing two additional Final Fantasy games, one of which you've played most of, Final Fantasy IX, which I anticipate someday we'll talk about in greater detail. The other is Final Fantasy VIII, which is released in 1999. And Square says, how do we answer a 3-disc video game? They say, how about a 4-disc video game? How do we answer a game that has a slam dunk, very Star Warsian, agreeable if challenging storyline with a set of characters? And they say, well, I guess we'll do this. And this is Final Fantasy VIII, an entry in the series, Zed, that I think is remarkably divisive. It's a very divisive game. I have said before that I am hot and cold with Final Fantasy VIII. I walk away from it really loving the experience or walk away from it really loathing it. And it's usually not a ton of middle ground for me. It is not impossible, Zed, that we are going to be embarking on an adventure that is less about drilling into story and thematics and character and more about complaining about process and protocol and game systems.
So if you liked our side quest podcast, boy, have we got something for you.
I think we'll have a mix of both. I think it's going to be a little bit of both. But I wanted, because you haven't played it yet, mm-hmm. have you done any reading into FF8 at all?
No, I know absolutely nothing about it beyond, you know, what you have said.
Right. Great. So I have a little bit of a test for you.
Oh, no.
Okay. So what I'd like to do is not unlike the Who's the Mole quiz.
No, because those go so well.
I have a test that I'd like to like, I think this is a great way to sort of just like introduce what we're getting into with Final Fantasy VIII. So there are right and wrong answers. You're not expected to necessarily do well because you don't know anything about the game. But I'll be curious to see how you do. And more importantly, I will be curious to talk through all of the things that are revealed over the course of this test. So okay. If you're ready, I shall begin.
I'm ready, as I'll ever be, for something I'm not at all prepared for.
So these first few are multiple choice.
Great.
We'll begin with multiple choice. So the first question I've got for you is this. So in Final Fantasy VII, you were part of an anti-corporation, environmentally friendly resistance group.
Mm-hmm.
In Final Fantasy VIII, you are, choice one, students at a school. Choice two, soldiers at war. Choice three, an anti-witch task force. And choice four, all of the above.
Oh, well, that throws a wrench into things, because you have mentioned the school situation before. Mm-hmm. So I know that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Soldiers at war, an anti-witch task force. I'm going to go with all of the above.
Yeah, it is. It's all of those things is effectively what you are. And I think witch is probably a harsh word for sorceress.
Okay.
But in Final Fantasy VIII, you are going to be playing the roles of characters who are enrolled in a school.
Right.
Who also are soldiers. And they're also uniquely qualified and specifically assigned to battle a witch, a sorceress. And the path, I think, from student to task force will be the stuff of much conversation.
We have to end the school to task force pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to guess. It's going to be my feeling.
I think that there's going to be a lot of questions quickly about, excuse me? I think there will be a lot of excuse me's coming up as soon as our first episode of the Final Fantasy VIII podcast. So that's question number one. Okay. Zed, you are one for one. Question number two. In Final Fantasy VIII, you earn magic by, option one, leveling up, classic. Option two, materia, or whatever it is they're calling magic items these days.
Mm-hmm.
Option three, stealing from enemies and random draw points around the world. Or option four, none of the above.
Mm. Okay, well, I know it's not purely by leveling up, based on, again, something you said. I couldn't tell you what it was.
MOTPD.
I don't think it's materia or something like materia. I know 10 has the sphere grid thing that I hate. What was the third one?
Stealing from enemies and random draw points around the world.
Yeah, that sounds dumb. I think it's that one.
Yeah, it is. So in Final Fantasy VIII, you're not leveling up your magic. You're not like equipping materia. You literally are going to steal magic from enemies that you're fighting in combat, and you will equip the magic to stats. in what is known as the junction system.
Right.
So the junction system is probably, it's hard to say if it's this or the story that's the most sort of divisive for people, but certainly the junction system is deeply divisive. Very divisive indeed. And you can run around the world and on the map and in towns and stuff, and there's going to be like these pink swirly things. And like, if you go up to it, it says, hey, would you like to draw some magic? This is thunder. You want some thunder? And you say, yeah, I do. And so you draw it. Zed, the junction system is first and foremost the reason why I have advised you to play this on the Nintendo Switch.
Right.
You are going to be leaning heavily, I think, on the fast forward options.
Great.
Potentially even invulnerability as you grind out an hour stealing as much magic as humanly possible.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy.
May I introduce you to Zed, who spent 3 hours dying 16 times fighting a fight I did not need to fight.
Have fun with that. Have fun with that. Let's talk about some characters.
Okay.
I've got some character questions for you. Question number one, who is the fake character by name?
One you made up.
Okay. Yes.
As opposed to one, like Kate Sith.
Well, who is the fake character by name? Of these four characters, three of them exist in Final Fantasy VIII. So who is the outlier? Here's the question. The first one is Celeste Cher.
Okay.
The second one is Irvine Kinius.
Great.
The third one is Selfie Tilmet.
No.
And the last one is Zell Dinked.
Wow.
One of these characters is not in Final Fantasy VIII.
Wild.
Who's the outlier?
Celeste Cher. Irvine?
Celeste Cher.
Oh, not Celeste. Not like a real name.
Irvine Kinius. Selfie Tilmet. Or Zell Dinked.
Wow. I'm gonna go with the last one.
You think that Zell Dinked is fake?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to tell you that you're wrong. Zell Dinked is very real.
Okay.
And you shall be playing as Zell Dinked with, I expect, some frequency.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'll give you another guess. We can keep whittling it down.
I mean, is it Selfie?
Is that a final answer?
Sure.
It's not. Selfie
That's
is also
ridiculous.
A very real character. Who you will be playing as here in Final Fantasy VIII. So your options are Celeste Cher or Irvine Kinius.
I'm torn. I those were the two I was like most, obviously, was most sure were real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go with Irvine.
Swing and a miss. Irvine Kinius is also a character you will be playing as in Final Fantasy VIII. This was really a sampler platter to just get you used to the fact that the names of characters in Final Fantasy VIII are absolutely ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Utterly ridiculous. These are three of the six main playable characters in Final Fantasy VIII. So get excited to hang out with Zell and Selfie and Irvine. In the weeks ahead. Celeste, you will be playing as someday in a different Final Fantasy.
Ah, okay.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Next question. Who is the fake Final Fantasy VIII character by description?
Oh, goodness.
So I'm going to describe four characters, one of whom is not a Final Fantasy VIII character. Option A, a resistance fighter with a chronic stomach ache. Option two, a happy-go-lucky brawler who loves hot dogs. Option three, a Moogle desperate to sample the world's finest cuisine.
Oh, I hope that's real.
And option four, a mouth-breathing basement boy with a shocking amount of power.
I have a feeling that one's real. Okay.
Do you need me to go over them again?
The second one was the hot dog one.
A happy-go-lucky brawler who loves hot dogs.
Alarming that that's like a defining characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one?
A resistance fighter with a chronic stomach.
Oh, yuffie. Constant stomach. I'm going to go with the first one.
That the person with the chronic stomach ache is not in Final Fantasy VIII.
Correct.
Is your guess?
Yeah.
I'm really, really sorry to tell you.
Wait, so we have the stomach ache and we have the hot dog person.
I'm really, and we really have the sorry Moogle to tell you.
Who wants to eat all the things. Is it the other one that wasn't about eating?
No. Unfortunately, the Moogle that's desperate to sample the world's finest cuisines is an amalgamation of Kate Sith and Queen of Quinn from Final Fantasy IX. The others are upsetting. All real. The resistance fighter with the chronic stomach ache, who I shall not name. You'll encounter this person. The mouth-breathing basement boy with a shocking amount of power. I'd like to leave that off in the distance for you to discover when we get there.
Can't wait. Sounds like a delight.
The happy-go-lucky brawler who loves hot dogs is Zeldinked. So, get ready. Uh-huh. Get ready for Zell. He loves hot dogs.
So we're not going to be calling me Brooklyn Zell anytime soon.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I kind of love Zell. Similar. I think Zell's great. It's just ridiculous. He's just sort of ridiculous. All right. Which of these Seinfeld characters' names almost appears in Final Fantasy VIII? So one of these names is like really close to a name that you get in Final Fantasy VIII. Your options are Jerry.
Okay.
Elaine.
Uh-huh.
Cosmo. And George.
Uh-huh. I'm going to go with Cosmo.
No. Unfortunately, that's not it. That's not the one. No, you're too close to Cosmo Canyon.
Cosmo Canyon. Well, and my dog's name is Kramer.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
There's some family loyalty to the name.
Yes, yes.
Elaine makes me think of Zidane, but that's Final Fantasy IX. I mean, Jerry could sound like anything.
I guess it is a little subjective.
What does sound like?
But I don't know if there's a Jerry analog that comes immediately to mind in Final Fantasy VIII. So I'll remove that from the board for you. So you're down to Elaine and George.
I'm going to say George.
Okay, it's wrong. It is Elaine. There's a character named Elone.
Okay.
E-L-L-O. N-E, who's going to be a very important character, but may not emerge in full importance until a little bit deeper into the story. Let's stick with Seinfeld, Zed. Which of these Seinfeld characters' names actually appears in Final Fantasy VIII? You ready?
I'm just laughing because you're so busy, but you made this quiz. And here we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first option is Seinfeld. The second option is Elaine. The third option is Kramer.
That'd be amazing.
And the fourth option is George.
Oh, I wanted it to be Costanza.
It's not.
Because that would be very funny.
It's not.
Okay, George, Elaine, Seinfeld, or Cosmo?
Kramer.
Oh, or Kramer. All right.
Yeah.
Well, if there's an Alone and an Elaine, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems, honestly, on point. So I will guess Elaine first.
Incorrect.
Yeah, guess first, implying that I know that it's not right. Okay, then I'm going to guess Kramer.
Yeah.
Yay! You got
it. So there is a Kramer.
Excellent.
And the Kramer is a last name of a character who has a first name that you have encountered before, not just in Final Fantasy VII, but in Final Fantasy IX, and indeed in almost every Final Fantasy you would encounter a person
with this name. Sid Kramer?
Sid Kramer, coming up.
Okay.
Get ready for Sid Kramer.
I hope this is the redemption of Sid.
We'll find out. We'll find out. There are gardens in Final Fantasy VIII.
Okay.
They all have ridiculous names. Which of these gardens is the fake garden? Your choices are Balum Garden, Galbadia Garden, Mizidia Garden, or Trabia Garden. Which one is the fake garden? Three of them are real.
Did you get these off the Knights of the Round Table list? Okay, I think the last one is real. I don't know why. It's just an instinct. I think, let's see. What was the third one?
Mizidia Garden.
That's probably real. I'm just going to go with whatever the second one was.
Galbadia, that is incorrect. Galbadia is a garden, as is Balum, as is Trabia Garden. Mizidia, so very important Mizidia. Town from Final Fantasy IV.
See, you're killing me by using all this other Final Fantasy stuff in the Final Fantasy quiz.
I know. A follow-up question, Zed. This is for extra credit. What is a garden?
Wow, clearly I don't know.
What is a garden?
If you have to ask me that question, clearly I don't know the answer.
What's a garden?
Is it spelled like garden?
Yeah, it's G-A-R-D-E-N.
It's not like
that?
A place you go like grow like guardians or something.
Is that your answer?
No, that's why I was asking about the spelling. I'm trying to logic my way through a totally illogical quiz. It's not going to work. It's probably how you like, you have to like plant abilities or something to like grow weapons or something based on the other silly things that you have told me about this game.
Okay. Cool.
That'll be my guess.
We'll just leave that there. We'll leave that there and see how that shakes
out. And then you come back to the garden and have a Thanksgiving feast.
Yeah, I was going to ask. which of these four is the fake Final Fantasy VIII location by description? By description, okay. Not by name, by description. Option A, a sprawling megalopolis, completely invisible unless you know where to look.
Cool.
Option two, a sprawling series of oil tankers in the middle of the ocean, masquerading as a port city. Option three, a sprawling city where it is literally always nighttime and your fastest way around is to take the bus.
Would have to be a fantasy world.
And your final option is a sprawling castle that can sneak away from enemies by going underground.
The castle can go underground?
I believe that's the
implication. Sneaky castle?
A sprawling castle that can sneak away from enemies by going underground, which is
sprawling,
the fake location.
But it's sneaky. That's very funny.
A sneaky sprawling castle.
Okay. I'm going to say the oil tanker one, again, trying to logic my way out of an illogical thing, because it feels like doing oil tankers right after you're doing your game about the environment is not the choice.
Yeah. At some point, we may come to quibble with oil tankers, but the tankers are at least very real. This is Fisherman's Horizon is the name of this city that you will encounter in Final Fantasy VIII, and it has some of the best music of the whole game. It's beautiful. It pops up in my head all the time. Fisherman's Horizon.
Okay.
So that one is real.
Oh, I have no context. okay, we have the city with the buses. We have the sneaky castle.
Yeah.
And was it the first one? No, the first one was the one I just guessed.
You've got the invisible city, the city with the buses, and the underground city.
Invisible
or the underground castle, rather.
The invisible city, the city where it's always night and you want to take the bus, and the sneaky castle.
Right, that's correct.
The sneaky underground castle.
Yeah, yes, correct.
That's so baffling to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the invisible city for literally no reason.
Yeah, you're wrong. The invisible city is real.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be hard to find.
Uh-huh. That's how these things go.
It's going to take a while. So it's either the city with the bus where it's always night, or it's the castle, the sprawling castle.
I'm so committed to the castle.
Away.
Which makes me think it's probably that one. Because all the things I've wanted to be real in this game are from other games.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess the castle.
Yeah, if we had been going in a different direction, maybe this would have been this would be a thing that you'd actually be encountering in the weeks ahead. But the sprawling castle that can sneak away from enemies by going underground,
ridiculous.
It is not in Final Fantasy VIII. It is indeed
Final Fantasy VI.
It is indeed in Final Fantasy VI. So we'll get there someday. Zed, there are summonable monsters in Final Fantasy VIII, as there are in just about every Final Fantasy game. Mm-hmm. In Final Fantasy VIII, they are called Guardian Forces.
Sure.
Or GFs, for short.
Okay.
I'm not making a joke. It's what they will be called.
Uh-huh.
GFs. Your GFs. You're going to be BFGF with some Guardian Forces. We'll find out. I'd like to talk to you about the Guardian Forces because they're very important. They are a big piece of the Junction system.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some story significance. So, which of the following Guardian Forces, by description, is the fake? Which one does not appear in Final Fantasy VIII? Option one, an old wizard with a big beard and an even bigger fondness for lightning. It's option one.
Okay.
Option two, a devil who you coax into joining you by activating an evil lamp. A devil who you coax into joining you by activating an evil lamp.
Uh-huh.
A swordsman who, depending on when you recruit him, actually dies at one point.
This is a thing you can summon?
A swordsman who, depending on when you get him, actually dies at one point.
Okay.
Which I suppose would be something of a spoiler, but would be worth noting here for the purposes of this ridiculous quiz. And then your final pick, a pair of minotaurs who team together to brute strength the bad guys.
Huh. Okay, we have Lightning Wizard. We have Devil summoned by turning on an evil
by activating
lamp?
By activating, okay, activating. Activating, engaging an evil magic lamp. Yeah.
Pair of minotaurs and this swordsman who maybe actually dies.
Yeah, potentially.
Baffling. I'm going to go with the minotaurs.
I'm sorry, the brothers are real.
Okay.
The brothers are real. And the brothers are great.
Is it the lightning beard guy?
Yeah, he's a classic Final Fantasy summon, but he's not in this one. Okay. So you got him.
Okay.
You've encountered this one in Final Fantasy IX. I don't think that Ramu is in Final Fantasy VII, but also is not in Final Fantasy VIII. But is a classic, classic Final Fantasy summon. So the swordsman who may actually die depending on when you get him is real, as is the devil who you can coax into joining you by activating an evil lamp. All right, Zed, who is the fake guardian force by name? I'm going to give you some names.
Okay.
Okay, and one of them is fake.
Uh-huh.
Only one. Okay. All right. Pandamona.
Mm-hmm.
Pandamona. Nexus. Moomba and Doom Train.
Doom Train sounds like a Limit Break. And Pandamona, I very much hope, is a very upset panda bear who complains a lot.
Yeah.
A very chaotic panda bear who is upset. Okay. I think Doom Train is real. I think Pandamona is real. I'm just rooting for that. What were the other two?
Nexus,
right.
and Moomba.
Moomba. I'm going to say Nexus.
You're learning. It's so great. It's so great. Nexus is not real at all. And the Moomba is like sort of like a cheapo depot guardian force that I don't think is like a junctionable guardian force. There's a distinction, Zed. Some of the guardian forces will be junctionable and some won't be, including the aforementioned swordsman. You can't junction him. He just shows up. So I believe Moomba is of that ilk.
We'll just show up.
Mm-hmm, but the Moombas are important. Final Fantasy VIII doesn't really have much in the way of Moogles to my memory, but they do have Moombas. So we'll be talking about the Moombas when we get there.
Okay.
Two more for you. This is an A or B.
Okay.
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 How do you make money in Final Fantasy VIII?
Not the logical way, apparently.
A. You kill bad guys in battle and they drop money. B, you take a test and earn a salary.
I'm going to go with the second one.
You take a test.
Thing.
You have a salary in Final Fantasy VIII. And Zed, we are going to break that open very early on. We're going to do some light to heavy cheating in Final Fantasy VIII because life's too short for this bullshit. You take a test and you earn a salary. That's how you make money in Final Fantasy
VIII. We're going to find a little box where you type in Rosebud and then all the little semicolons.
Yeah, it's really stupid. Okay. It's really, really, really dumb. It's very, very stupid. Final one for you. True or false, Final Fantasy VIII's soundtrack is built around a romantic power ballad.
What?
It's true. It's true. Final Fantasy VIII's soundtrack is built around a romantic power ballad,
amazing,
which is the song that we will use to close ourselves out of this podcast. Is that I just wanted to get you in the mindset for what you can expect for Final Fantasy VIII. It's a very weird, systems-heavy, emo love story with gardens and guardian forces and a junction system and a story that has left some cold, many others hot. And we will find out. There's witches. There's Moombas. There's Doom Trains. There's hot dogs.
The more you tell me about this game, the less I know what to expect.
This game's got it all. So what we're going to do is we're going to take an actual week off. Actual week off incoming. Zed, you are going to play Final Fantasy VIII through the first seed mission and indeed the celebration of your first seed mission. And when you get there, we'll get back together to podcast Final Fantasy VIII, available for Nintendo Switch, PlayStation, many other consoles, for anyone who wants to play along or just listen to us talk it all through. How are you feeling? Excited? Nervous?
Cautiously optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, I think it's going to be great podcasting.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
It's going to be especially great for the people who like listen to this podcast just to have a thing to listen to, without like having any real sense of like what's going on in the thing. The nonsense quotient is going to be off the charts.
Yes.
We're really going to go deep into the pandemonium of it all.
Well, you said on the community building podcast, what will have been last week now, that you watch the episodes so that you get to do the podcast a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that may be my experience with Final Fantasy VIII, but worth it.
Okay. So Z13, you are evolving into Zed Dinked.
We'll workshop it.
It's coming. We're going into Final Fantasy VIII. Eyes on Final Fantasy VIII. That's what we've got. We'll be back next week with, or 2 weeks from now, we'll be back in 2 weeks with our first Final Fantasy VIII podcast. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Softly but sure. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.